Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thank you so much for being here today. In just a moment, we're going to be talking with Mike Wall. Great to be back chatting with Mike. Another phenomenal episode. Every single time I talk to Mike, it's always something that I learned from it. It's always a great conversation. So I hope and think you're really going to enjoy our show today. Before we get there, a couple quick updates. Packers injury report presented by Habish Rotier. Let's start with the Packers side of things, and then we'll look at the Eagles injury report, which is much cleaner than Green Bay's at the moment. From a Packers standpoint, though, we did get some pretty good news overall. There were only three players that were not practicing, one of which was Christian Watson, which we knew he's done for the season. The other two, Zane Anderson, remains in concussion protocol, and TJ Slayton was out with an ankle injury. Now, if you remember, Slayton limped off the field pretty badly in the game against Chicago, but did return to the game. Now we find out that he's not practicing. Matt LaFleur did make mention of the fact that if Slayton didn't practice this week, it wouldn't necessarily mean that that would rule him out. He's got enough reps banked up that, especially in a playoff scenario, if he gets cleared even Sunday morning and he's good to go, they'll probably put him in there. But that's definitely going to be an injury worth monitoring, especially when you consider Saquon Barkley, this Eagles run game. Slayton's a big physical presence in there. He's been pretty darn good against the run. He's kind of one of their primary run defenders in the middle of that defense. He would be a very nice player to have against Philly this week. They will definitely give him the entire week to get ready. And hopefully the fact that he was able to return to the game last week would indicate it's nothing too severe, that hopefully he can play through it to some extent. He just did, but those things are never quite that simple. And we're just going to have to kind of keep an eye on it through the course of the week. As far as Zane Anderson, he's just going to have to clear protocol before he has any chance to play. We'll see if he can do so prior to Sunday. Limited participants included Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Brenton Cox, Andre Dillard, Jordan Love, Quay Walker, Evan Williams, and Malik Willis. Evan Williams, Quay Walker, Brenton Cox, Andre Dillard all returned to practice, which is phenomenal news, especially for Quay and Evan Williams. Those two could be huge for this Packers defense going up against Philly this week. So that is great news. Even bigger news is the fact that Jordan Love and Malik Willis did practice in some capacity. Now, even the individual part of practice, which is usually open to the media, was not. All the media got to see was stretching, which is unfortunate, which means they didn't get to see Jordan Love throwing it all, which leaves us in the dark. Jordan Love was available in the locker room post-practice. It sounds like he's going to be good to go. It almost felt like he kind of caught himself and is like, oh yeah, I have to go through this whole charade of pretending that I might not play, and then basically gave some really short answers. We'll see. The great news is that it sounds like the numbness in his finger and thumb are gone, that that's not an issue anymore, that he has the grip strength that he needs. It's his elbow that is now a little bit banged up and hurt, and apparently, you know, is hurting when he throws the ball and things like that. It would seem that Jordan Love is going to play in this game. You can never take anything for granted. We don't know that for sure. We haven't got the confirmation, but Jordan Love did say he was hopeful after initially responding like he was going to play. So again, we'll take it one day at a time, but right now it seems rather positive that Jordan will play. And again, the bigger news here, Evan Williams, and I guess it's not the bigger news. The big news is Jordan, but Evan Williams and Quay Walker both return to practice along with Brenton Cox and Andre Dillard. From an Eagles standpoint, their only player who did not practice in any capacity was Trevor Keegan, rotational, you know, bottom of the depth chart sort of guy, and he was out with an illness. Limited were A.J. Brown. The only reason he was mainly limited was a rest day. Kenny Pickett, Will Shipley, and then Jalen Hurts, who is still in concussion protocol, but did practice in a limited capacity. The fact that he practiced on Wednesday is probably a pretty good sign. He's going to play on Sunday. I think that's everyone's expectation at this point. You never quite know. Romeo Doubs had that streak of practices where he practiced in full prior to Sunday's game and then did not play. That was a few weeks ago now. So again, it's not a guarantee. Concussions are, you know, they're tricky things. You can't exactly play it out by number the way that you would like, but again, I think everyone's expectation is that Jalen Hurts will in fact play in this game. Full participants for Philadelphia were Grant Calcaterra, N'Kobe Dean, Dallas Goedert, Bryce Huff, and Byron Young. A couple other really quick notes. Eagles signed Louis Cine, former Georgia safety. There are 11 former Georgia Bulldog defenders in this game. In fact, you could build a perfect 11-man, not a perfect, but a 11-man true base defense out of just Georgia defenders in this game, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. So literally, if you go through it, Jalen Carter at defensive end, Jordan Davis at nose tackle, Devontae Wyatt at defensive end, Nolan Smith and Brenton Cox as edge rushers, Quay Walker and N'Kobe Dean at linebacker, Keely Ringo and Eric Stokes at corner, Javon Bullard and Louis Cine at safety. You can literally build an 11-man base defense just out of Georgia Bulldog defenders in this game now that Louis Cine is on the Philadelphia Eagles. They picked him up off of the Bills practice squad. And then last but not least, Xavier McKinney, first team All-Pro by the NFL Players Association. That's a cool award in the fact that it's by his peers. His peers elected him a first team All-Pro. So a really cool honor for Xavier McKinney, that first team All-Pro safety, more than deserving. He's been absolutely awesome all season long, a big time impact player, and his peers recognized him as such. All right, that's going to do it for me for this part. But now we get to Mike Wall in our phenomenal conversation with Mike. Check it out. It is great to be back chatting with the one and only Mike Wall. You can find him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Mike, lots to go over with the Green Bay Packers right now. Tough loss to the Bears, two consecutive losses overall, but they've got the playoffs coming up. Philadelphia Eagles, excited to chat it all with you. But before we get there, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing good. Working through some jet lag, Andy. Just got back to Germany, so bear with me. I know I have a little bit of a red face right now. I'm pulling through it.
I can certainly appreciate that. I can only imagine. I know that trek back from Texas to Germany, probably not the most fun thing in the world, but I am sure you will be back in rhythm with a little bit of kilos and caffeine before you know it. All right, Mike, let's start with Packers and Bears. Let me just ask you, what went wrong? What do you care about from that, if anything? And is, you know, can there be sort of a hangover effect from a loss like that as you get ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, I didn't watch the game live. I watched it. I just watched the all 22 on both sides. And so sometimes when you watch, you don't watch a live game with announcers and you watch the all 22, sometimes like the tape just pops and you can still hear the thumps and the play speed and everything. And sometimes it just feels a little bit dead. And this one felt dead. This one, yep. When you watch it, it just kind of looked, quite frankly, it kind of looked like a preseason game. There was a couple times where I'm not making this up, and I won't name the names, but I was looking up like, are these people hurt? Cause they were playing so slow. And I think part of that has to do with the finality of the season, playing against the Bears. You've won against for what, 5 years in a row, and kind of all that fact. And the Bears, quite frankly, they won the game. Congrats to them. And I know it's a big win for them, but that's a really bad football team, yeah, at a lot of positions, I should say. And so sometimes you play down to your opponent, or you're looking forward to the playoffs. And I think, you know, for whatever reason, that just wasn't a very good version of the Green Bay Packers, really, you know, particularly on offense. And you hope that there's not a hangover effect on that. I really don't buy into it too much because these guys are professional athletes. This is their job. This is what they know how to do. They know how to prepare for a big game like the playoffs. They have some experience now, obviously, in the situation. So I don't see there being a lingering effect. There certainly can be. I don't see it happening with this team or most teams, but it's something that we do have to address because they did not look very good.
No, they did not. Let me ask you this. I know obviously they didn't have a week 18 back in your day, but they had a week 17, and some of these do end up as glorified preseason games, whether it's two teams that have nothing to play for, teams like the Chiefs that are just shutting down their players, teams like Green Bay who maybe were kind of going through the motions of trying to win the game at times, but also not playing Josh Jacobs in the second half. I'm assuming you had at least a game like that during your time in your career. And if so, how does that feel? How do players get ready for that game still? And is it basically like a glorified exhibition game?
That's a great question. You know, I can't remember in Green Bay where there was a time where we weren't fighting for something, honestly, in the last game of the season, whether it was playoff positioning, know, you got to remember, and I don't recall now, for some reason it's escaping me, if whether or not I think this game, they still had something riding on it. At least they thought they did. The Commanders weren't, yep. They hadn't won yet.
Correct.
And so that was surprising, because certainly the road through the playoffs through Tampa would be a lot easier than through Philly.
Yeah.
So that part of it to me is always kind of a head scratcher. You want to give yourself the best position to be successful. We were always in that position. I have played in those games, unfortunately, in Carolina, where we were not in the playoffs. You're playing that last game and you're doing it for the love of the game. And honestly, those are hard, especially the further along you get in your career, knowing that it's somewhat inconsequential and all the work is not all for naught, but you don't have anything to look forward to the next week. In the case of the Green Bay Packers, this game has no impact on whether you're going to go to the Pro Bowl, whether or not you're meeting a mileage marker, whether or not you're just trying to keep rhythm. It is difficult. You do have to go out there and be professional, but the message that, I mean, let's just face it, Josh Jacobs doesn't play in the second half. That's probably a predetermined thing. It sounded like Christian Watson, from what I heard, Christian Watson was actually hurt before the game and then went out and got hurt worse. There's a lot of things going on, the messaging from the coaching staff and what the priority is this weekend, like all of that kind of factors in. So while we can look at this game and dissect it, it's sometimes in these situations, it's easier to just say, you guys didn't really want to play that game. You were looking forward to the next week and let's see what that looks like.
Yeah, I think so too. That's where I wish they would have had a little bit more of like an intentionality about it. Either just say, hey, we're not going to play our guys and we don't care about it, or right. or go to win, like do one or the other. And it felt like, I know because Matt LaFleur said in his postgame presser that they were hoping to get up early and then pull everyone, kind of out, at least the primary players, pull them out and rest them in the second half, but they never got ahead. And then I think they're probably, I know they're doing some scoreboard watching because Matt mentioned that as well. And they're seeing that Washington is actually losing at times, or that it's a close game. So I'm sure that's kind of in the back of their mind too, of like, all right, well, Washington might actually lose this thing. Yeah. So we actually have something to play for.
I wasn't aware of that. And honestly, like that, I don't like that messaging at all.
Agreed. I totally agree.
Yeah. I just don't understand from a leadership standpoint and from a coaching standpoint. I just don't think you have a mature enough group of guys. And by saying that, I don't think there's many locker rooms in the National Football League that are mature enough for the coach to stay up there and go, all right, we're going to try to get a lead. And then we're going to, if we front run, then we can take some guys out and, shut it down. It's like, Matt, that's the goal of every game. I mean, if I've got all my guys up in the fourth quarter, I'm going to pull everybody. I mean, that's the goal regardless. So having that approach, is not for me in particular. I would much rather have a guy come in and say, guys, we're playing full 60 here. We're going to win this football game. That's our intentionality. That's who we are as a football team. We want to continue to sharpen the sword, and we'll take the risks that come along with injuries and all of that other stuff. But we're here to play football. We're football players, and this is what we do for a living. I much prefer that messaging. And I can tell you firsthand from the experiences I just talked about, when you don't have that, you have a lot of guys that start questioning, all right, like, does this really matter? What is, the hard part for all this stuff, Andy, is that as we're looking at this, we look at the Green Bay Packers, but there's still a name. There's a name on the back of your jersey as well. And yeah. you always have to remember that when you're as the individual player.
Yeah. I think the two examples for me, just going one of the extremes, the Kansas City Chiefs said, we're good. We're just going to rest everyone. And Dan Campbell and the Lions the week before against San Francisco, when they had nothing to play for, said, we're going to still run through your face. We're going to do everything we can to win. And I honestly don't care which lane you pick, but just pick one of them and you're good. The middle ground is probably the worst. And I think they got the worst of all worlds. Let's kind of talk about just maybe even this game aside to some extent, the state of the offense, Jordan Love, the offensive line, everything kind of cohesively together. The rushing game still looks good. The passing attack looks a little bit stagnant at the moment. What have you seen from this offense? And assuming Jordan's good to go this week, what can they do, especially without Christian Watson, to kind of get this pass offense back and kickstarted? Can you believe it? It's playoff football, and that means it's time for Green Bay to go on a win streak and for you to go on a win streak with Prize Picks. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money, and that's because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions. I've been telling you guys, you got to get in on Taco Tuesday when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. You can make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Now this week, I'm going with Jordan Love to get hot and throw multiple touchdowns. I'm also going with Saquon Barkley to have a big week, and I also expect Baltimore's offense to have a massive week, so I'm going to be utilizing a ton of their starters as well, including Lamar Jackson and King Henry. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Well, I think one plays off the other pretty heavily as they've tried to do. I think, you know, we've talked about it on the show many times. Matt LaFleur has done such a good job, in my opinion, of really starting the game the right way more often than not, giving the ball to Josh Jacobs, letting him set the tone, not only with the style of play calling, but also the style of play that he adds to the game, the confidence he can bring to the offensive line, kind of get everybody playing on their front foot. Certainly, I think that adds. The other thing is we don't necessarily talk about it this way, but like when Josh Jacobs is running well, that means, you know, Jaden Reed is blocking well. Like those things are interactive, right? And so that gets you into the football game. Like there's a reason Amon-Ra St. Brown is a great football player. It's because his mentality is like, I'm going to block just as hard as I run routes. And, you know, all that stuff matters. And so if you can get everybody involved that way, even if they don't really feel it, once you get that first pop, you're into the game on kind of that physical side of the football. Your mental locks in a little bit better as well. So I think they've done a great job of that throughout the season. When I watch this team, I think first and foremost, Josh Jacobs has to make a lot of guys miss, or he makes a lot of guys miss, and that promotes a lot of positive yardage and gets everybody into the game. The downhill running game, all the motions that go along with it, all the window dressing, I think has been fantastic for this football team, because I think it creates hidden yardage that they wouldn't have otherwise. When you stop, there's only so many plays that you can put in every week. So like everything that we've seen the last probably 2-3 weeks, we've seen over the course of the season, all the motions, all the shifts, all the orbits, all the fake handoff here, you know, run the trap play over here. Like we've seen it all now. Yep. And it's still making the linebackers at the second level pause, but maybe they're not pausing as long. And so you're not getting the same numbers on second and third down. You're not getting the same looks that you want. You're not getting the field position that you want after that first down play. And all of that kind of plays into, is Jordan Love getting the looks that he wants? And then maybe more importantly, going back to the game before this one, early in the game, is he throwing off his front foot or is he throwing off his back foot? Is he stepping into his throw or is he drifting in the pocket? Is he taking the two check downs that are wide open in the middle of the field on the left, or is he going for the home run that's double covered down the sideline early on? So are you taking your wins and building that confidence early on? Talking about Jordan Love now, are you taking what the defense has given you because they're worried about the Josh Jacobs runs? Or are you trying to make a statement early on with how good your arm is, or how, you know, what the amazing throws you can make? And I think just speaking generally about football players, like taking the wins early on, even if they're singles, is a big deal because it builds confidence not only in yourself, but your play caller, your offensive line, your wide receivers, your tight ends. Like it's not just you. And so I think sometimes if you want to say, what is the progression with Jordan Love and how do you need to get better in the game? Because it's really him. It's not that we got to catch some, you know, sometimes you drop some passes or anything, but it really is the quarterback.
Yeah.
The play calling is the same. The route running is the same. So, like, what is the difference? The difference is if he's not taking the wins when he has them because he's going for something bigger, or if he's not using technique, he's throwing off his back foot, he's fading in the pocket, he's taking shots he doesn't need to. I'm talking about body shots. Well, it's not just him that's going to be feeling those. It's the entire offensive unit, coaches, players, everybody. And I think the responsibility of that sometimes on younger players is hard to manage.
That's really well said. It's a really interesting kind of way to think about it. And I do think Jordan needs to be just a little bit better. When you say like him drifting off of his spot from what you've watched on tape, are you seeing him do that as his default? Is it because the pass protection hasn't been what it needs to be, a little bit of both? Like where are you seeing that kind of breakdown from Jordan and not just stepping up in the pocket and ripping it?
So first of all, the way that the Packers run like pass pro, and generally speaking, like their thought process is We've talked about this before. We used to talk about the cup, right? Yep. It's not a cup anymore. It's more like a wall. And it's just like a slightly, it's like that you take a plate and you cut it in, you know, into a quarter. And it's like, there's just a wall there. Right. So it's not this cup anymore. So all these people are square. They're trying to get back and they'll take a little bull rush. And basically the defensive ends are saying, you're saying to them, like, I dare you to run upfield because like we have a quarterback that can escape the pocket then.
Right.
So they're, everything's kind of trying to push. And if they, sometimes they'll get the edge and they'll try to take the edge, but generally speaking on your 5-step drops, he can get back and he's 11 yards deep. I mean, it really became obvious. I know I'm digressing a little bit, Dave, but this is
no, like, go for it.
I was just watching Malik Willis in this tape and I'm going, holy hell, he's hitting 12 on his drop. Like that's really deep.
Yep.
So you're catching gun and you're dropping, you're hitting, your back foot's hitting 12 and they don't necessarily step up from there. Like you don't go 12 to 9, you're going like 12 to 11, right, talking about yards from the line of scrimmage. And that perspective is great, and it's really offensive line friendly, because like Josh Myers would have to get beat so bad to give up a sack there, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he'd have to basically not touch the guys. The guy's got to run 12 yards to sack the quarterback. But the problem is Jordan gets back there, and then, you know, let's say he's throwing the fade to the left. He gets back there and all of a sudden he starts fading to the left, and that everybody's bullying you now. I know we're speaking in generalities, but basically everyone's going to bully you because you're just standing right in front of them. You don't have any, you've taken away all the options from the defensive line. Like if I keep back and if I'm trying to rush you and you just are right in front of me, you just keep back, eventually I'm just going to bull rush you. And so, this is how I teach football. I mean, this is how you should do it. This is fantastic. But if you hold the ball and you pat, and then you drift all of a sudden, like, oh yeah, now you do have to throw off your back foot because you're not stepping in a throw, you're not on time, right? So there's this combination of like you're not throwing on time because you're not throwing your check down, and we're speaking, of course, in extreme circumstances here, but you're not throwing the check down. You're waiting for that play to develop, and all of a sudden these guys are in your face because there is no step up because they're not going around the corner. You see what I mean? And so that's kind of the difference now in quarterback play in general with a lot of these teams. You'll see the same thing with Philadelphia. Their line sets the exact same, and they have the same kind of issues where you can always escape out because they don't want to run over the top. But because of that, if you step into those throws where you're drifting to the right or left, you could hit that tackle.
Gotcha. No, that makes a ton of sense. I want to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. I want to ask you about two rookies in particular. We've obviously seen the huge impact that Edgerrin Cooper has made, especially over the last month since he's come back from injury. I want to start there and just what he has brought to this team and what you've been seeing from him on tape. I also want to talk about Javon Bullard and some of the, I think, maybe a little bit more volatility, some of the high highs, some of his ability to come up and tackle, both from the slot and from safety. But also we've seen some coverage and some angle taking issues from him at times. What have you seen from those two rookies in particular, and how can they help against the Eagles this upcoming week?
Well, they're both phenomenal football players. I think first and foremost, you got two guys that are alphas in the room. They have extreme confidence. I think they both have extreme anticipation. Everything's magnified the further you are away from the line of scrimmage. So Javon Bullard, if he makes a slight mistake in an angle of pursuit, it's magnified. If Edgerrin Cooper makes a slight mistake in an angle of pursuit, it's maybe not as magnified. I would argue that, and, you know, if you ask Jeff Hafley, Cooper's closer to the, listen, Cooper's like, when I did my first thing on Cooper in draft, he's a war daddy. Like the guy's a football player. He's amazing, but he makes a ton of mistakes.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he makes a ton of mistakes.
Yes, he does.
And I would imagine if you ask Jeff Hafley, who's making more mistakes? I don't know what the answer would be between those two players. But the difference is when you're only 4 yards from the line of scrimmage, you're aggressive as he is, and the running back doesn't have much time to build up. You're playing against these really, you know, guys like me who are terrible athletes at offensive line. You're going to make a lot of impact plays. You can hide some of that stuff. If you're 12 yards deep and you're running forward, like that's a whole different ball of wax, right?
Yep.
So I think both those guys are. I mean, I'd be so bullish on their futures. I'm so bullish on them now. I think they're just phenomenal football players, and I think they're being really well coached. I think both the coaches in both of those rooms have done an excellent job. I think the leadership in the DB room, particularly when you look at kind of the impact that Xavier's had, I think that's huge. But yeah, both those guys make mistakes. I mean, and they're making like what vets would call like, oh, those are rookie mistakes. Like you have some things there that you're taking some guesses on. And, you know, sometimes Cooper is so wrong out of anticipation that like he's not even on the screen when they score a touchdown. And it's like, and you just kind of go, oh, well, because like the next play, he might have a tackle for loss. So you got to take the good with the bad, certainly. And I think that's part of the game, but yeah, both those guys are phenomenal football players.
I'm glad you say that, because I know there's been a lot of frustration with Javon Bullard. I haven't been there. Like I think he's a really good football player. I love the mentality that he brings to the team. I know Matt's been a coach that has preached for a while, like, I'm okay with mistakes if you're making them fast. And I feel like both of these guys, you know, when they do make mistakes, they're making them fast. Like you said, some of them are just rookie mistakes, but I just love how they're both attacking downhill, physical players, fearless. And yes, there's going to be some of those rookie mistakes, but I mean, to me, both of them are value adds for this team. And I love the mentality from both of them.
Yeah, no doubt. And like the thing is with defense in the National Football League now, I mean, think how many cards are stacked in the offense's favor anyways. Like I was just looking up the Eagles and they give up 278 points or yards per game. Like, you know how ridiculous that is? Like that number is absurd. Like every team and every offensive team in football should be doing well over 300 yards. Like it's so easy to move the football, you know? And so when you're in that position and you're a rookie and you're going against all these rules and the athletes and it's like, you have to play on the edge of out of control, I think, especially in an attacking defense, in order to be successful. And the flip side of that is like you're gonna get beat sometimes. You know, if you have a shutdown corner, like he ain't shutting down. Like remember when we went and played the Commanders and Jaren Alexander had, you know, Terry McLaurin had a day on him?
Yes, I do.
And they won the game. Like it happens. Like, and Jaren Alexander's one of the top cornerbacks when he's healthy in the National Football League. But sometimes you get beat because you got to live on that edge. And that's what happens. And these guys, these rookies, part of the NFL, like Adrian Cooper's not going to be 250 pounds. He's not going to run a 4.1 someday. Like he is what he is as far as physicality, and Javon Bullard the same, right? Like it's not physical. That's not what they have to get it up to speed on. It's the mental and understanding how to play the game on that razor's edge of being out of control and then just being completely in command of what you're doing. And, you know, that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, take chaos and make it controlled chaos somehow. Mm. That'll be the next step for both of those guys. But I love both of them as well. I'm super excited about both of their futures. As we kind of take a step back, 11-6 season, they lose their last two against Minnesota and Chicago. Just 1,000-foot view, 10,000-foot view, whatever. How do you view the overall season for Green Bay at 11-6? What you expected, less than you expected, better than you expected? I know obviously a huge part of this is what they do over the course of this next, hopefully, month, but starting with the Eagles this week. But how do you view this team and what they did this season?
Well, I think contextually, just understanding how good the division is this year, you know, you have to take into account the, you know, 14 and a 15 win team in the division. And you have to unfortunately measure yourself against those guys, because that's, you know, the first goal of every team in the National Football League is to win your division. The Green Bay Packers, you have to be super excited about the defense and the progress that they've made moving on to Jeff Hafley. I mean, it's what's always fun for me is because, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll get on these shows and you start dumping on coaches a little bit, especially now, you know, this time of the year when everyone's getting fired. But it's great to see coaches that make a huge difference in the quality of the play of their players. And sure. And I think Jeff Hafley and his staff have done that at a super high level. I also think Matt LaFleur on the other side of the football is one of the premier play callers in the National Football League. I think he's a top three, you know, guy. I don't know, you know, where they all stack, but I think he's a top three or four play caller in the National Football League. And I think that's really, really high praise considering all the people that are just doing some amazing things. I think he's very innovative. And again, the ability to manufacture yards is, I don't know that anybody's manufacturing yards better than he is, quite frankly, particularly in the run game. I really like the evolution of the offense. I think, unfortunately, you're seeing Jordan Love as still a, you know, even though I think this is what, year five now, he's really second-year starter, and you're kind of seeing some of the second-year growing pains that happen with younger quarterbacks. As talented as he is and as many great games as he is has had and is going to have, the things that we just talked about with anticipation, with footwork. I mean, one of the frustrating things I would say is, and it's just like watching this Bears game, just global view, is when you watch the offense, you watch the offensive line, the footwork is across the board is at the very, very best is average. You look at Tucker Kraft probably has the best footwork of any blocker on the team, which is bizarre, right? Sure. I mean, which is kind of bizarre.
Yep.
The drops, whatever you ascribe the reason for why we have so many drops at the wide receiver position, is that lack of jugs machine? Is that something? I mean, is that something else that we're doing? So, in other words, I guess the way for me to say this is there is so much good that's coming from the scheme. And this is something that you're going to see against the Eagles, unfortunately, is at some point you have to beat your guy or you have to execute your individual job at a really high level. And I think the step that everyone's waiting to see them make in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, maybe in the as a fan, is they have the scheme, they have the system, and they have the players. You still have this gap between how good the players are and how good they should be or can be once they get their fundamentals down, their best of the basics idea. And that part of the implementation of their development and then their personal responsibility to development is something that we still, I think we talked about this last year, the year before, but we're still talking about it. And, I think they're better than they were last year, but I think they can take that next step whenever they're ready, quite frankly.
Yeah. It'd be nice. It is interesting. So the stat just came out. This is the second youngest team ever to make the playoffs in the last 45 years. The only team that was younger than them was last year's Packers team last year. So the two youngest teams to make the playoffs in the last 45 years has been this Green Bay team. That you see some of that youth and inexperience. And I think it is going to be paramount for them to take that next step and go from a really good team to a great slash elite team is going to be all the things that you're mentioning, the fundamentals, the footwork, the technique stuff. If they can get that down, especially in the next, off season or whatever it takes, hopefully today, I think that's the next step that they need to take to be that great team.
Yeah, I agree. And the hard part now with the National Football League is everybody is, we know the name of every offensive coordinator, every play caller. Those guys are the real superstars of the league now, it feels like, to some extent.
Yeah.
And because of that, I talk about manufactured yardage and we talk about Halfley and it's a huge deal. It really is. But you still have to teach these guys just the basics of the sport and the game, the value that you have to your organization. Josh Myers is going to be one of these guys we talk about. The value that you have specifically to your team is your ability to win one-on-ones. Josh is an example of a guy who schematically he fits. Are they going to determine that he beats his guy one-on-one enough to be valuable enough to pay the money that it's going to cost to keep him? Or are they going to say, you know what, actually we probably have a guy who in the bullpen that wins just as much as he does.
Yeah.
And if he was winning every play, I think that answer would be different. And that's just the name of the game. And when you have the body type, you have the intelligence, you have the feet, but not the footwork. Like, it's all there. And I think part of the promotion of that has to come through the coaching staff and what they prioritize. And I think you see a little bit more of that on the defensive side of the football, at least in tackling this year. We could talk about pass rush, I suppose, but a lot of that is just making sure that's kind of a huge priority on individual development. And I think, like you said, to go from good to great, I mean, when you look at the Eagles, you look at the Lions in particular, you go, there's some dudes on those teams on both sides of the offensive and defensive line that are doing things the right way, like damn near every play. And it makes a huge difference.
It very much does. That's going to be the next step for them for sure. And maybe this, spoils the next question here, but as we get set for the playoffs, Packers, Eagles, What gives you the greatest concern about this team that you're like, you know what? I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to overcome that.
I think on paper, the Eagles are really good. I think their lines are just, their lines are just next level. I mean, the offensive, you look at the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, Jeff Stoutland, so they bring in Mekhi Becton, who is, he was supposed to be the next big thing, but he's 385 pounds, and then he blooms up to 425, blah, blah. They bring him in. He looks like a hell of a right guard now. And it's because it's the culture and the environment, the coaching, all of that stuff. They bring in a guy to back up Jason Kelsey. He'll be all pro. They're two tackles. They have the best left side in the National Football League, Landon Dickerson and Maialata. I mean, they're so good on that. We haven't talked about their all pro Lane Johnson. They're so good there, right? And then you look on the other side of the ball, Jordan Davis is a real problem in this upcoming game. And the thing that, like, they're running Vic Fangio's defense, which everybody, deep safety, bend but don't break. You can't go 80 yards on us. Darius Slay's out there giving up like 7 yard, like 7 yard outs, like they're hotcakes. He doesn't care. Like they'll make, and they're running a 3-4. And one of those dudes in the middle is just going to go ahead and beat their guy. They're going to make you single block. And whether or sweat on the outside or Nolan Smith on the outside, like they're just going to beat their guy. They're going to get a tackle for loss. They're going to put you behind the sticks. And it's like, what are you going to do now? And I think the concern is when you just line up and say, you have to beat this guy. I think Matt LaFleur is going to do a fantastic job with the scheme. I think when you look at defensively, the Philly scheme, there's nothing that frightens you. You can anticipate almost everything. If you go double cadence, you can see everything. If you shift, you can see everything. Like, I don't think that's a problem at all. I think beating the guy in front of you could be a real problem. And the reason that they're so good on defense is because they just beat the people in front of them real bad. And it'll be kind of with the struggles that we've had in the last couple of weeks. And then how much can Josh Jacobs, with this matchup with like Saquon and Josh, right? How much can he manufacture confidence-wise, extra yardage, yards after contact early in the game so that the Packers feel like, okay, we can do something against these guys? So I think it's going to be a real battle.
Yeah, this is a Georgia defensive reunion with all the Georgia finishing players school on Philly and all the ones on Green Bay. There's probably like eight or nine Georgia defenders that are going to play probably significant roles in this game for both teams. All right, let's go to the flip side of this. As we get ready for this game, what gives you the biggest reason for optimism? Something that you feel like Green Bay is doing really well that you're excited about?
Well, you kind of talked about it. I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to look at this defense and go, okay, I don't know how to attack it. Like it's right there in front of you. When they bring pressure, they're loose on the outside coverage. They're trying to take away the middle. If you double cadence them, if you motion them, they show it early. You can read the stances of the defense. Like there's nothing there where you're going, I have no idea what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
So I think schematically you're going to be looking at this. Like I can dial up some plays. And if for whatever reason, like the Dallas, maybe it's because the Dallas Cowboys don't, I watched the Dallas game this morning and maybe it's because they don't run as much kind of, window dressing as the Packers, but when they did move and they pressured, or if they went from, or if like the Cowboys went from like a bunch and motioned a guy out of the bunch and the Eagles pressure, like they lose guys. Like they're still as good as they are. They're still making mistakes. So I think you're going to have a method to attack them. It's just more along, again, it's more along the lines like, okay, can we block Jordan Davis? Can we make sure that, the Cooper DeJean kid doesn't, have another game busting play? I mean, there's some individual things on their team that they're in an environment where they're free to play really well and they just happen to be playing really well, I think. And then the other question has got to be offensively, how are you going to create a pass rush against that group? Not only because of who they are, but also the offense that they run and everything that they show. And I think one of the big questions in the game has to be, what is Green Bay's plan to flush if Hurts gets, I'm sure Hurts will play after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But what's the plan to make him run to his left, exit the pocket to his left, and have to throw across his body and not be able to go downhill. And, you know, who are they going to send? How are they going to send them? Are they going to walk? Are they going to try to walk up Cooper and keep running the same stunts? Like, I just, there's a lot of stuff with that offensive line where you go, that's not going to work. You know, they're really, really good. They're not going to set flat when the guy's in the A gap. They're just not going to do that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what they have cooked up over there. It's going to be a really fun game. And certainly because of everything that we've talked about from a prep standpoint, a coaching standpoint, I think the Packers have a puncher's chance here, but this is a really good football team they're playing against.
I agree with all of that. I think it's going to be a really fun game. The pass rush for Green Bay has been, to me, the biggest question mark all season long. And when you go against a really good offensive line like Philly, that is my definite biggest concern. Hopefully Jalen Hurts is just a little bit rusty, assuming, again, he does play. By, you know, having not played for a couple weeks, we'll see. We're recording this prior to practices on Wednesday, so we don't know if he's going to practice on Wednesday or not. But I think that's going to be a huge key to this game, is just trying to get him off his spot. Not allowing him to necessarily beat you with his legs, but get him off his spot, throwing off platform, and maybe getting a mistake or two along the way. All right, as we kind of close things up here, Mike, I told you on that I went to the future and Green Bay picked up a win in this game. What went right for the Packers to beat the Eagles on Sunday?
Explosive plays on offense for sure. I think if you go down, like if you look at the All-22 and you can sort plays. And yep. you can hit the gain button and the gain goes, biggest display. If you go and see how many explosive plays the team has, you know, I don't know what the number is for Green Bay, but if you've got 10 explosive plays, you're probably scoring a lot of points and you have a real chance, you know. And I think some of the games this last week, you know, in the run game at least, I remember specifically two plays. We break it to, I think Emmanuel Wilson breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage, both guys break tackle the line of scrimmage and go on for, 20 yard plus runs. But how are we going to get those explosive plays that are scheduled explosive plays, right, designed explosive plays, not off schedule stuff against that defense? I think that's going to be a huge key to the game. And then, obviously going in as an underdog, turnovers are going to be the name of the game. Can Xavier get back on a hot streak and start maybe pick off one or two? And then can we hold on to the football on the other side? And that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of this, is Jordan Love going to take what they give them? Because there are guys open. There are plays to be made. We just have to be really smart, I think, about not being too ambitious early on with the selection of throws.
Jordan Love came up, three seasons practicing against Joe Barry's similar Fangio style defense,
yep,
pretty much every single day in practice. And it does seem like they've had success against these style of defenses offensively in the past, especially under Matt LaFleur. So hopefully this is something that, again, as you mentioned, Fangio, exactly what you're going to get. And it's just, can their scheme and can their players, ultimately be with the difference. And Philly's got a ton of really good players. Green Bay is going to be prepared for it. I think this is going to be a really fun matchup. I'm super looking forward to it and seeing if Green Bay can kind of overcome some of the more recent adversity and beat a really, really good Philadelphia team on the road. Mike, final thoughts? Anything else you want to get out there? Anything else you want to plug on the way out?
Well, the playoffs are the best time of the year. It's like, this is the real Christmas time for NFL fans, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The other thing that I didn't address, but when you just think about the Eagles defense, like they're really good at the first level and they're really good at the third level. But I do think there's room in that linebacker. I think in that linebacker room, we look at that Joe Barry defense and you kind of got the same style. Like everything that they kind of pissed you off about your linebackers here is what they do. They don't attack the line of scrimmage particularly well. They get stuck on blocks. They make tackles, 5, 6, 7 yards down the line. So there's that, all of that stuff, like you're going to see it again. If you watch for it, you're going to see it again on the other side of the ball. And I think there is a lot of room to attack that middle of the field zone between the safeties and the first level of defense. That's going to be a real fun part of this game. I think there's going to be a lot of good games this weekend, quite frankly. And I'm looking forward to all of them, man. So hopefully we're in a position to talk about the next one next week.
Yes, that would be very, very nice. Outside of Packers, Eagles, which one are you most looking forward to?
I got some people in some different games, so I got a couple I'm looking for. Obviously, I think the Texans Chargers game in particular. I'm surprised it opened up with the Chargers being favored. The Texans have such a talented team, but CJ's been not playing CJ ball the last couple of weeks. I know they had hit the one good drive last week, so I think that'll be super interesting. And honestly, like I think the Commanders Bucks game is going to be. I think it's going to be a hell of a good game.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I think it's going to be a hell of a good game. So that one's going to be great. And I tell you what, I haven't enjoyed watching just like an NFC North game as much as I enjoyed watching that Detroit-Minnesota game last week either. I know we're looking forward, but that was one hell of a football game to watch. You know, that's you want to talk about two just top tier teams playing high level ball with all the stakes there. Like that's as good a drama as you're going to get in a regular season game.
I'm not a huge fan of division playoff games usually, and I know the Ravens are 9.5-point favorites, but there's just something to me about Steelers-Ravens too. When you get rivalry and you get two teams that just want to kick the crap out of each other, really looking forward to that one at 7 p.m. Central on Saturday as well.
I'm just not a Russell Wilson fan. I just can't. I can't even explain. Well, we probably talked about it ad nauseum, but I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan. I think that'll be fun. I wish Joe Burrow would have gotten the playoffs because I just think he's very unique.
Agreed.
But you know, if anybody's not named the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, you it's hard not to root for the Ravens. Quite and Lamar Jackson, everything he's been able to accomplish. You know, he could very easily win his third Super or a third MVP this year. The AFC is, I mean, the NFC's, you know, now with the Lions and the Vikings and you know the Packers and the Eagles, they're so, you know, they've kind of caught back up, but the AFC for the last couple of years, the narrative has just been they're just so talented, man. And all the quarterback play over there, it's going to be just this playoffs is going to be as hopefully as fun as we've seen. I'm excited about it. I can't believe I tell you what I can't believe, Andy, is I bet you 4 years ago, if you would have asked a lot of people that are watching football, you would have said, you know, there's not a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League now. And I would say now that we got about 15 of them, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of changed the way you watch the game because you have this really high expectation of quarterback play where you really didn't have it a couple of years ago, except for a handful of names. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, Jordan Love being one of them.
I mean, the matchups this week, Herbert versus Stroud, Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson, Love versus Hurts, Bo Nix, who is playing pretty good football right now, versus Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels versus Baker Mayfield, who is having an unbelievable 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns for Baker this year. And then Darnold versus Matthew Stafford. I mean,
Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. And then who would have thought 4 years ago, if you would have said, oh, Sam Darnold's going to be, probably a second team all pro. You go, no, he's not. That's great. You know what I mean? But hey, it might happen.
Jared Goff too, another one that had that sort of resurgence, going to Detroit. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes and Goff waiting next week. So no, this is probably one of the better, and again, it's unfortunate that Joe Burrow is not in it. You would love for him to be there too, but it's about as good of a playoff field of quarterbacks, I think, as we have ever seen. Makes it really, really fun and exciting. I can't wait for it. We'll talk about it next week, Mike, and break it all down per usual. You're the absolute best. Tell us about the podcast and anything else you're working on.
Yeah, I just put out a block party preview of this game, so you can check that out on our Prospect to Perform channel. Hit me up, Mike Wall 68 on Twitter, Prospect to Perform on Instagram. Always fun, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
It very much is. Go check out the YouTube channel. His film breakdowns are the absolute best, bar none, and especially going into this week against Philly, you're not going to want to miss that. So make sure to check it out. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Wall 68. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.